Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
We are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 256, episode 2 of
The Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Tuesday, September 27th, 2022.
Yep.
9/27.
NCMD, National Chocolate Milk Day.
Yes.
NCBHD, National Corned Beef Hash Day.
Okay.
NCACD, I like a delicious day. National Crush a Can Day, NDOF, National Day of Forgiveness, and NCD, National Scarf Day. NSD, that's what it should have been. Shout out to corned beef hash, though. That is my favorite, like,
Irish food.
but aggressive trash American breakfast. Yeah. Like, in a can. Like, I've bought the shit in a can, and the checkout lady asked if I was okay.
That is, like, the food that is so salty that I feel like sometimes you get like crunchy salt, like it when you're like chewing on it. It's just it crystallizes occasionally.
The first like time you sweat after eating corned beef hash in a can, like just full crystals come out of your
just
pores.
Just gravy. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. But anyway, shout out to corned beef hash though. I love it.
Shout out to corned beef hash. Shout out to chocolate milk. Okay, you know, underrated. It's also one of my favorite things when a like second tier NBA All-Star is sponsored by chocolate milk.
Oh, like, dude, that Al campaign Horford was violent. Like the so idea funny that chocolate milk was the reason these dudes are in the league.
Yeah. And I mean, they do recommend that as like a post-workout thing if you need to get protein and you can't stand the taste of milk because you're a 5-year-old at heart like I am, you know, like go with the
like Klay Thompson.
It's funny like because it's
how
like
I refuel.
You're like everything about it feels like a budget Gatorade commercial, you know,
right? It's in black and white and shit. And then you got Kevin Love being like, and I fucking fuel up with chocolate milk.
Yes.
Like, okay, Kevin. Thank you.
Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Sweet Potatoes O'Brien.
Ooh.
Shout out to Dr. Raylan Grant, who's underrated with Sweet Potatoes. Chris Oily on Twitter was like, well, your a.k.a. needs to be Sweet Potatoes O'Brien. And I was like, how has it not been Sweet Potatoes O'Brien before? And I think it's because
everything about me just rejects that nickname. Like, that's the nickname of somebody who is like a graceful athlete.
Yeah,
like,
Sweet Potatoes just, O'Brien. Yeah.
Yeah. That is not me. You know, my nicknames were like, you know, Stone Hands, Butterfingers, Shaky. Right. You know,
Sweet Potatoes O'Brien was like the forgotten white guard of the NBA, like in right. the '60s, who was like, "Yo, he played like a brother." Sweet Potatoes O'Brien.
Sweet Potatoes O'Brien.
He wasn't all
O'Brien.
Stiff and shit.
Yeah. I dribbled around with my head down like a old timey NBA player. In
yeah,
the 40s,
and one hand
know?
Out for balance. Yeah. While
I don't want to fall over. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It's Miles Gray, the Lord of Lankershim, the North Hollywood Sun is back. Just first of all, shout out to Seattle. I was there. I have not been to Seattle before. Very beautiful place. Shout yeah. out to y'all. Went to Dick's Burgers. Fantastic. I like the shit. Dude, the shit was like priced reasonably. Even though the burgers are very normal, I was just like, damn, like this is your local shit and it's like $3. Okay.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, and the fries are, oh my God, the fries.
Giving In-N-Out a little bit of a run. Oh, I guess better than In-N-Out if the fries are good.
Oh, you know how I like on soggy floppy.
Yeah. You just like mashed potatoes shaped, like mashed potatoes pushed through one of those Play-Doh machines yes. that like extrudes it into yes. little pasta shapes.
Yes.
Yeah. That
yes.
is your idea of a good fry.
Yeah, so I was very happy with that. Yeah, so, and also shout out to Kemp's Cannabis. Really, Kemp had a weed shop out there.
Did you spend any time in the airport?
I did. Yes.
Did you hear the like announcements from grunge and like hair metal rockers?
No, those didn't clock. I had headphones in, but every time I had stuff out, I felt like I was hearing like the normal chatter over the thing.
Yeah, it might have been just a brief window where they tried this out. I might have just been hallucinating at the time, but I'm pretty sure I spent like 45 minutes in the Seattle airport and was hearing TSA announcements from like Duff McKagan from, they're like, hey, this is Duff from Guns N' Roses. Like, yeah. Be sure that your packages or your bags are with you at all times.
Hey, it's Chris Novoselic from Nirvana. Yeah. Did you pack your bags, your own bags? Make sure you did. All right.
That's very strange. Anyways, Miles, we are thrilled. Enough yes, fucking yes. around. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the host of the hit First Rate podcast, yes. Life is a Gringo. You know him yes. from The Breakfast Club, his very popular YouTube channel. He's a DJ, a music producer, a TV personality.
Yes.
Most importantly, he used to be the producer of a second-rate podcast yes. called The Daily
He's
Zeitgeist.
Things
are clearly moving in the right direction for him. Please welcome back to the show, DJ Drama!
Hey, it's good to be back, man. I feel like I'm like, it's like a glove. I'm just sliding back in. It just feels so right to be here with you guys.
Yeah. It's been a while, man. It's like you never left. How you been?
I'm good. Life is good. I think last time I talked to you guys, I was dealing with the remnants of a hurricane. So I am back yeah. living in my house, a little flash forward here. So I'm feeling good. I can't yeah. complain.
And it's hurricane season again.
Don't remind me.
Yeah. Right now, things are okay as things stand, right? It's just yeah. more, what is it, Ian or something?
Ian is threatening Florida.
Right, yeah. right. Tampa Bay yeah. and stuff, right?
Tampa, yeah. so that's a big deal. Cause mm-hmm. yeah. Tampa, you know.
I love in the background. I love the cafe lights do we call it? What's the official name for those lights that we see everywhere? Like, I hear them called rodeo lights. I hear
Edison called lights?
Edison lights. Bulbs, yeah. That's
Edison
what,
bulbs.
The technical term here is Edison bulbs.
The man gotcha. Has Edison bulbs hanging yeah. behind him. If you didn't get his intro ideas. That things are going pretty well.
Well, actually, I wish I had zoomed out the camera because I know you guys would appreciate this. That little like orange cable I have hanging down is uh-huh. actually a 90s Chicago Bulls basketball phone signed by Dennis Rodman. If there's one place that it would be appreciated, I know it would be
I know.
Here.
Part of me Damn. Is like, wait, hold on. Is that a Chicago Bulls phone cable dangling?
That could have been amazing. You just know it from the cable. From the
oh, yeah,
cable
I had that. I had that.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, what is the shape of the phone? Like a Bulls head or like a basketball that says Bulls on it? Yeah, I'm going to make you wow. show and tell.
All right, so
it's a full-on basketball.
It's a full basketball.
Like, hello. You
wow.
know what I'm saying? Like, legit.
Yeah.
And then
with a hand on
Dennis
it.
Dennis Rodman.
Looks...
Yeah.
Dennis
wait,
Rodman
where did you get
it.
That?
Okay, so I got the ball from eBay, the phone from eBay, and then when I was at the Breakfast Club, I had the pleasure of meeting Dennis Rodman getting him to sign it, and he was just like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this? And that's a real quote from Dennis Rodman. I was just like, dude, can you just sign it? Like, let's just make sense of this, you know? Please, just sign it for me.
Yeah, I know. I can totally relate to that as somebody who also worked in a morning, like, rap show on radio. Yeah. Like, when you knew somebody was coming in, you're like, oh, shit, what am I going to sign? Like, I remember when Pharrell came in. I had my homie go, like, he was at the record shop. I'm like, yo, pick up the first NERD album on vinyl.
Right.
He was like, because I don't have shit with me. And then when Pusha T came in the first time, I went to the supermarket and bought boxes of baking soda and Pyrexes for him to sign. Because I was like, shit, I don't have an album. And he was like, I'm not going to lie. He's like, this is the first box of baking soda or a Pyrex I've ever signed in my life.
No.
I
was
like,
great.
Thank you, bro. I was in a panic. I heard you were coming in out of nowhere. And there was no way. Like, Clips is one of my favorite rap duos. So
That's legendary. That is
such a great idea.
You know what's even funnier? My mom fucking you started using the Pyrex because I used to live with my mom at the time. And when I moved out, I had like a bunch of shit like in a corner. She started using the fucking Pyrex dish.
And the signature's
like faded off of it.
Oh no.
So I was like, that's on me for not taking care of that.
The baking soda is great though. That's brilliant.
Yeah. That's easy. That's easy. Classic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Miles is good under pressure, coming up with genius ideas.
It is nothing short of that spur of the moment.
Yeah, I wish I could take time to think of better shit. I'm like, in a panic is when I do my best thinking.
Also, the phone appears to be the basketball that the phone is made of appears to be the basketball is being held by the T-1000, like right before he gets the flesh tone. It's like this like haunting silver hand,
right?
It's like holding the ball for some reason.
Dude, the 90s was just a strange time for random 90s collectibles, you know?
That's right. Yeah. Dramas, we're gonna get to know you a little bit better in a moment. Mm-hmm. First, we're gonna tell the listeners a couple of the stories we're talking about. We are going to look forward to 3,000 years of not longing, but bad faith impeachments of Joe Biden. If the Republicans win the House, that is what the next 2 years is going to feel like. So we'll just talk about their plan to impeach Joe Biden, actually investigate the January 6th committee. So they're going to impeach the impeachers. Just the most exhausting shit. We're going to talk about DeSantis's Martha's Vineyard circus and the fact that it's not playing out quite as he had foreseen it. We're going to talk about the extraordinary lengths that some people are going to stop jacking it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which includes letting their church see, like basically spy on them, installing spyware that informs your church anytime you look at pornography. All of that. Plenty more. But first, Dramos.
Hold on, but like, I know we'll probably get into it, but like, doesn't God already know that shit? Isn't he omniscient? Isn't he all knowing?
That's a great question that you need to ask your pastor.
I would be like, hold on, I feel like you're trying to be God right now.
Right.
What we just read, he is omnipotent, omniscient, omni everything. Okay.
Right.
But you want to know what I'm looking at on Pornhub? Okay.
I think that's actually a very good argument that gets to the heart of some of the issues.
Look, they
that
created
modern religion has is that
Christianity they created a monster. Yeah, by indoctrinating me from K through 12th grade, because now I know y'all logic loops,
right?
And I would say that forcefully and raise that in the church and wonder how people would respond. But again, I think everything's about control. So
Miles, anytime I fuck up real bad in my life, I just call Miles and he just is like a defense attorney for my soul. It's great. He's like, no, you didn't fuck that.
Well, hold on, God.
Hold on a second. As it says in this book of the Bible.
Exactly.
Before we get to any of that shit, Dramos, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I was searching this morning. I'm not sure if you guys are into like meditation. I'm a pretty big connoisseur of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Mindfulness, all that kind of stuff. So I'm always looking for like a way to kind of go above and beyond always, right? So I was listening to a podcast this morning and this dude was like really selling this device that he uses that apparently puts him in like another world. And I looked it up. It's called the Soma Dome.
Oh.
And it's kind of like, you ever seen those flotation things where people like sit in salt water
and
like,
you
know,
yeah.
But this is like, I guess, installed in your house, and it's like a little dome, and it's got like speakers and lights and shit, and it's supposed to give you like the ultimate, like, you know, just being present in your head meditation wise. So he was talking about
that thing. That's like a futuristic bobsled, right?
Right. Almost looks like. Exactly. That's such a good way to, oh my God. Yeah. A futuristic bobsled with a hood over. That's literally
with a rave built
in. Exactly. So I was like, all right, let me look into this whole thing. And as I'm like researching, I hear him go, yeah, I mean, I dropped 25K on it, and I was like, all right, let me close out the old Safari search. It's back to turning off the lights and looking at Headspace. You're listening to Headspace on my Spotify playlist.
Not only do you close the tab, but you have to erase the cookies so that Amazon and, you know, the algorithm doesn't start sending $25,000.
They've made a broke boy version.
Oh, really?
Soma Home. Yeah, and it looks like a fucking, like, a little collapsing camping chair you'd bring to a Little League game or, like, a AYSO game and with, like, a light flap on top. It looks like the low-budget, brother of Soma Dome.
See, I love that. And it's like if somebody breaks into your house and they see that, they're just going to walk right back out because, like, this broke-ass motherfucker can't even get the real deal.
You got the dome? Bro, no, we're good.
Whereas the other one, they'll think it's a time machine.
Or just freak them out. They're like, a mad scientist lives here. Involved with this shit.
Have you guys ever done sensory deprivation?
No, I really want to do that. I haven't.
I did it.
You have? Okay.
I'd love to hear yours if it reminisces.
So I had built it up in my mind. I talked to a lot of people who are really into meditation. I'm into like getting into meditation-ish.
Yeah. And I'm into getting into
I'm like preparing to be willing to get into getting into
your meditation.
I'm doing the prep to get to be into meditation. So I went and did it. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a good thing. I'm told this is a good thing, but I closed my eyes, the lights went down, and then it seemed like a split second later, the lights came back on, and they were like, yep, that was 45 minutes. And I guess it was like just the most relaxing sleep, or they were fucking with me. I can't tell which.
They shifted all the clocks and shit.
Right, it's like that Office episode where Michael fell asleep and they all changed the clocks.
Like it's five, bro. Right. He's like, oh, all right. get out of here.
Yeah, it was the closest I've come to time travel since drinking and using drugs.
Did you feel like your experience would feel like 4.5 hours? And that was why it was maybe you're a little bit like, oh, shit, time just went rapidly, quickly without any
it was just like 45 minutes, but it just went so fast. I thought, I think I had built it up like, okay, this could go one of two ways. It could be like very trippy and like that's supposed to, you're like traveling places in your mind is what one thing I've heard. And the other thing I had heard is like you just are in there and you want to get out. Like I've heard about it going badly. I'd never heard someone just be like, close my eyes and it was over.
I think I built it up in my head a lot too. I thought it was going to be life changing. And then I go and I open the thing and it's got like little like stuff at the bottom of like the water thing. And that just grossed me out because I was thinking, what was the other person that was in here before me? They obviously didn't clean this water. The part of me that is like the child of an immigrant who like makes myself feel small is like, you know what? I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to deal with it, you know? And then
get in my ear.
Right. But the first half hour is just me thinking about what it could be and being grossed out by the fact I'm laying in this water. Right. And then I fell asleep at some point, woke up, and it was kind of a similar thing. I was just kind of like, all right, I guess it was like good sleep. I don't know. It wasn't what I hoped it would be.
Yeah. It was super, super fast. But Zeitgang, let us know what your experience is with sensory deprivation. I've definitely heard from people who like had really trippy experiences. My one friend, Hunter, is like got in there and really got after it. Hunter.
Right, because you're saying his dad was putting a lot of pressure
on
him.
Yeah, his dad like put a lot of pressure on him. So he said he went in there and had a little party in there. I didn't really exactly know what that meant.
But he left his laptop like at the place, right? And he was like, he went back I think and he was might gone.
Have. Yeah. Damn. What's something you think is overrated, Dramas?
I've been realizing this recently. I think like being young, like being in your 20s, I think that period of your life is overrated. And I say that now as somebody who's almost in his mid 30s. And I'm just like, man, I really get to do all the shit that I want to do. I get to take naps when I want to. I get to go eat a good meal when I want to. I'm spending stupid money on like, craft beers just because I want to see this like caramel cotton candy flavor thrown in a beer. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. But like, I feel like I'm really living right now, you know, and I'm not having to run around to like, you know, all hours of the night, you know, chasing after God knows what to feel like I'm living. So that's the realization I've come to. Maybe it's me trying to kind of, you know, heal myself or feeling like I'm getting older. But I just know that when I was 21, I thought somebody who was 30 was like ancient and that their life was over. And I feel like the older 100%. I've gotten, the more I realize that might have been a lie that we were all told.
Yeah. I feel like the difference for me, like I would say like my 20s was spent avoiding life.
Mm.
And my 30s have been embracing it. Like I was the chaos of my youth was just like, fuck that. Like, let me get fucked up. Let me put my attention into all this other like vapid shit that wasn't really meaningful to me. And just kind of like living in a fucking, you know, like with my head in the clouds.
Right.
Not that it was bad, but like I needed all that time to dial in like what was important to me, to fuck up enough times to realize like what I never want to do to myself or things I need to embrace about myself. And yeah, like now as I'm older, I'm like, I feel like I have the ability to appreciate life more than just kind of taking it for granted. Because when you're a kid, you're like, I'll do that shit later, man. I'm fucking 24. Like, fuck, I'm going to be popping for the rest of my life.
But even traveling, like, if you think about when you used to travel in your 20s, it was like, I'm going to go to this city I've never been to. And rather than really explore it, I'm just going to get fucked up at every single bar or club like, in the area.
Yeah, I remember
and,
it, yeah.
Yeah, and I have no idea really about the city aside from what the nightlife looked like.
Yeah. I would be like, I would go to a city based on who was a promoter at a bar, like at a club. I'm like, man, I ain't going to fucking Italy. I'm going to East St. Louis because the homie is working at the Pink Slip.
Yeah, I feel like that's true generally across, like as a culture, we devalue anything outside of the 18 to 34 demographic because that's just who we can make money off of. Like the civilization has learned to make money off of. And then once you have kids, like 35 is the average age that you have kids. So like then they just give up on you. But from the actual individual person's perspective, the longer you get to try being an adult human, the better you get at it. You know, the more you learn, at least if you're learning. Like I was, you know, I needed to stop doing certain things to, you know, start actually learning how to live as a human. But yeah, there's a clear differentiation, like where I was like, oh, actually, like your life can get progressively easier as you learn how to just like deal with shit instead of, yeah, like Miles, like you said, like finding ways to get around the shit or just like, you know, dead it out.
Just like, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not going to confront that truth. Right. Yeah. I will do so much ecstasy at this music festival.
It sounds uncomfortable.
And then write all kinds of incoherent things in my notes app. I figured it out, man. EDM, economic distraction music. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck? Where did that come from?
What's something you think is underrated?
All right, I think watching what's unfolding with like the head coach of the Boston Celtics. I think not cheating is very underrated at this point in life, because you're literally just watching like this man threw away basically everything he's ever worked for just for, you know, a few moments of like, you know, cheating on his woman or whatever, you know? So
yeah,
I think not cheating is definitely underrated.
What? Yeah, man.
Is there another shoe that's supposed to drop with all this?
There's like, yeah, they said, everybody's hinting at like, well, I know the real story, so that's why I'm like, everybody's like
Richard Jefferson was saying shit like that. I'm like, well, what? Right. He's like, where'd you find out the truth? I'm like, what is going on? Because like, Sarver's like vile, misogynistic, racist ass also got the same suspension. And I'm like, so I'm like, to the Celtics, are they so Catholic that infidelity is like there too? Or is there something deeper? Because like other things I've read too were like, people were coming at Woj because they're like, Woj was CAA. Ime Udoka's on CAA. So he's giving a very positive spin. Everybody else in the league thinks he's done. And I'm like, for what?
Right.
Yeah. It seems like we don't have the whole story, but I do think one thing we can take from it is that
Jamal Bowman is thirsty.
Probably take that one back.
Oh.
Right. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. It's just ridiculous.
Did you see that? That was so funny on Twitter. Like, Jamal Bowman, he like tweeted the congressman from New York. He's like, I don't know how somebody would tweet on a being like Nia Long. She is so exquisite. Like you would, and people are like, wow, thirsty. You are down bad, homie. They're like, I think Sam Sanders or someone retweeted. They're like, my brother in Christ, sir, you are a member of Congress. And then he tweeted a picture like 2 days later, like with his partner, like with some woman he's dating, I think. And he's like, just so y'all know, I'm good. I've been good. And everyone's like, ooh, somebody told you to post that shit after the Nia Long. It was just a very... There's so many other side things that have come out of the Udoka thing, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess. But all right, let's take a quick break.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And yeah, this isn't like that. This is more of a placeholder to be like, but we will be coming back to this one if the Republicans win the House, which I still feel like they're going to win.
Projections look that way.
Yeah, the projections are saying like it's swinging Democrat, but
it's still like 212 to 223 or something. It was like 226 a month ago. So like at this pace, like if they're losing maybe 3 seats a month, or like in the projections, they would still probably stand to win the House.
Yeah. And if they win the House, man, if you thought politics was frustratingly cynical before, like wait until the Republican House starts launching impeachment inquiries into Joe Biden, starts launching investigations into the January 6th committee, like just weaponizing every weapon that has been used to, you know, in many cases, try to hold Donald Trump accountable for, you know, trying to barter like weapons for political secrets in the in the case of the impeachment that actually went through. Yeah, I don't know. It seems like they're going to be trying to impeach Biden on like the Hunter laptop. Who knows what else? Maybe Afghanistan has been mentioned and his handling of that. So we might have another Benghazi. I mean, I mean, certainly
woke Afghanistan gas prices. We remember that segment
right
in Newsmax where they helped us realize.
Yeah, and like that's the other thing is that so they're impeaching him about Afghanistan, and I'm like, yeah, I mean, he fucked that up. Like he a lot of the stuff he did there was terrible, but like that is, I have to think that's part of the strategy is like, okay, you're gonna defend this guy, and like that's such a distraction, such a drain on just the genuine political energy that people have to like see some things change.
Yeah, if part of me thinks like this is just them trying to figure out what to say, like it's all about chumming the waters for the for their base, right?
Got it.
Like we've seen a few different attempts like just constantly backfire,
right?
So then maybe they're like, okay, what if we get back into revenge mode? Maybe revenge mode will get them out the seats again.
Yeah,
but it doesn't. I don't know if revenge mode will. Like right now, there was a new poll that said his support like went down like 20 points recently among Republicans. So I don't know. Like there's clearly whatever the polling says or doesn't say. There's clearly like an enthusiasm gap that they're trying to address. And they're like their normal tools of being just inhumane to people who are trying to look for a better life or going after trans people or whatever isn't moving the needle enough. So I think that's what it feels like. Remember, like, I think they're like just like Democrats are like, hey, y'all, if we, you know, get the Senate, like we will then give a fuck about, you know, abortion access this time. Right. We swear
this time. Yeah.
Because everybody's got to paint a picture of what happens. Ooh, when we win, honey, look, what's going to come. And I think for them, they've tried all these other things. Like, we are going to fucking, you know, just completely mistreat human beings. Or they're like, okay, how about we go after Biden's ass? That's what it feels like. But either way, I definitely believe them when they say that.
Yeah, right. But when do we reach like peak crazy, though? Right. Like, because this has to tip at some point. And every time you think, all right, like there's no way his base is going to go along with this, like these asinine stories they're making up or trying to defend this. There's always another excuse. There's always another crazy person trying to do something. I just wonder, like, when does the crazy get too crazy for, like, even the majority crazies that follow the MAGA party almost, you know?
I don't know. I feel like right now it's more like that the optics are so blunt and so plainly fucked up looking that they're like, oh, okay. Because, like, there was somebody went on George Stephanopoulos' show. I forget which. I think it was Barrasso, Senator Barrasso. And he was trying to, like, Stephanopoulos was like, fam, you know you can't just declassify shit with your mind. You know that. Like, you know better, fool. And he's like, well, I don't, like, he was like, and, like, Stephanopoulos started to laugh, basically laughing at this dude. And he's like, yeah, maybe you're right. Like, it's clear that there's, like, even, like, the Hannity thing. When he had that terrible interview with Hannity, even, like, Hannity was like, well, like, isn't there video of the FBI planning shit? If you, like, are saying they're planning shit. And he's like, I don't know. Like,
no, I think it happened in the house anyways.
Yeah,
not like, in a room anyways, moving on. I feel like the instinct to be like, they're going to figure, like, eventually this is going to hit a bottom and they will bounce back. That, to this point, has not served me well. I feel like I was asking that question 3 years ago, you know, and now we have Trump giving a speech with like dramatic music behind him as they give him the one, the QAnon where we go one, we go all salute. Like that feels like it would have seemed beyond like what anybody would go along with a while
right.
back.
Right.
I guess QAnon seemed like it was beyond what people would go along with a while back. But you know what, it keeps going.
They're like going, it's like they're going through records at a record store. They're like, okay, right. what about xenophobia? They're like, okay, right. that one's not hitting. Like they're DJing this shit. Okay, fuck, switch it up. Oh, I got right. this new white label from yeah. QAnon. Oh, I hope y'all ready for this. They haven't been playing in one club out here. And recently at the North Carolina rally, people that were officials with the Trump rally, they were stopping people from doing the QAnon salute.
Right. Mm.
So clearly from even the Trump side, they're like, bro, we can't, no. Like, that's a bridge too far, even for like what they call, quote unquote, normal Republicans.
Right.
Like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
That they're constant, like the flip flopping. It's, they're just in this very, very wild phase. That's why I'm like curious, right? Like, I do want to play this clip of Kevin McCarthy, because just like we're talking about this, like painting a vision of what it looks like when the Republicans take the House. This is like one of the main, this soundbite of him, of Kevin McCarthy on Fox News, just sums up just how bizarre they think, like what motivates people to vote for them. So just listen to this about why you're going to be loving a fucking Republican controlled House.
Hold the law. We will secure our borders so your kids won't have to fear wondering that they're buying fentanyl and are going to OD.
Huh? Hold on. Okay, I'm sorry, Kevin. I think I misheard you. What was that again?
We will secure our borders. Uh-huh.
Okay, so you secure the... So no more brown people. Okay, I'm with that. What was that?
So your kids won't have to fear wondering that they're buying fentanyl and are going to OD.
Oh, I don't know how many of the homies are buying fentanyl. Unless you, like, have terrible pain and, like, you know, like, you don't have health insurance, maybe you're using it like that. Or, again, they...
Wondering... They keep, if there, so that is a blind swipe. Well, maybe
so now you're with drug use.
Look, we're gonna get we're gonna allow that your kids are doing drugs, but they're gonna be clean drugs. They're gonna be the best, the purest.
That's pretty
product.
Progressive, actually. So you're criminalizing them?
Progressive. I didn't know that was gonna work with the Republican base.
I'm sorry, I don't think through things. I'm just word salading talking points. I said border fentanyl safe.
Right. So your kids can safely feed their coke habit and not have to worry about this fentanyl coming from over the border.
And maybe that's what he does or doesn't mean, but it's just wild. Like, because like you're saying, if they win in the House, they're not going to advance a single fucking bill that would help anybody. If anything, they're going to try and dismantle any progress that's been made, because that's the whole thing. The lack of forward progress is exactly what Republicans need, because the less progress there is, the more people that are on the edge. And the more people that are on the edge, the more susceptible they are to their autocratic bullshit. And they need that. They can't have people that are supported or people who are like getting in touch with their like worker power and shit like that. That's completely antithetical to like this, the sort of environment they need to sort of, you know, swoop in and get all these votes that they think they can get. And it's just wild watching their whole platform is just basically shift. Like, it's watching them kind of deal with this shift in like the racial status quo, or like of just like white male dominance, because that's all, everything that's like, it's a reaction to all of this. And it's like, I'm trying to figure out what phase of like the Kubler-Ross grief cycle they're in. Like, we're definitely past denial. That may have been 5 years ago or something.
They're and stuck then, on anger.
Yeah, like we're fully in anger mode. We are fully in anger mode. Like, of all this shit, like, you know, think of any time you felt wronged. Like, you first, you're like, nah, it's not that bad. And then you start going, man, you know what? If only this motherfucker did this, or if only this shit happened, if only these people weren't in the way. That's what all their legislation looks like. It's just going outward and being like, fuck all these, just putting everybody, like, just they're on attack mode. And I mean, if Americans are smart enough and their numbers decrease, you know, in elected office, maybe we'll see them start bargaining in a weird way, or maybe they're bargaining now, you know, because right now they're like, oh shit, xenophobia's not working. Oh shit, QAnon, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. Who do I got to embrace now? But yeah, it's just wild to watch it, you know, because at the end of the day, all they want is to watch people suffer.
Yeah, it's scary to think there's no like logical end in sight? Because I think you've dismantled the idea of like thinking rationally, right? So like you've basically programmed them to say anything that is brought out there is a conspiracy theory, right? So, you know, Bill Gates is behind everything that's happening and this is behind this, right? And so where do you end at that point? Because to me, even one thing I might have thought for a while, be like, okay, well, if Donald Trump gets like the charges come up and he gets, you know, held to justice for any of the things that he's done, and there's solid proof, and maybe that'll kind of begin to like settle things. But that might actually make things even worse, because these people might then be even more angry and feel like they, you know, have to quote unquote save this country, and things get even crazier, you know? So,
right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to wrap my head around like, what does the end of this really scary story we're living in, you know, look like?
I mean, there is a logic where with, you know, they're doubling down on a non-functioning society, the non-functioning, you know, civilization that we have right now. And the primary like symptoms of that is, you know, profound spiritual emptiness and deep, deep loneliness. And drugs is one of the most popular ways of dealing with that. So maybe they're going to just be like, we're the drugs party, man. We're going to make sure your drugs are clean, like
ain't
Soma
no
all the
here,
way.
Bro.
Yeah, just like Brave New World it. Like if wow, Republicans like, did that, that would actually...
they're like, yo, man, can you get them, some bro. Drugs for this weekend? They're like, yeah, I got the homie Tucker, bro, out in Connecticut, bro. His shit fire.
Oh, and for
safe,
sure.
And safe. Yeah. You know, I mean, they don't fuck around, those conservative drug dealers.
Yeah, that's the, your kids doing drugs with fentanyl, and it is like the they are so desperate for a, you know, the immigration situation to like affect them negatively in some way that they're just reaching. They're like, your kids, man, I mean, they when they go to cut up a line, you know?
Yeah. Like, whoa, what?
Like, speaking to the base of, you know, other senators and
the
other,
free base.
Yeah. And other House members.
Yeah. But like, again, like this is just sort of fits in too with like DeSantis's Martha's Vineyard, you know, human circus.
Right.
In his mind, he's like, okay, I get it. The playbook is cruelty. I get it. That's what every Republican knows. The playbook is fucking cruelty right now. And so again, it was no surprise when he's taking living human beings as like pawns in like a IRL shit post, like when he rounded up migrants under like this, like the false pretenses and flying them to Martha's Vineyard. And his hope, like, you know, you could tell what his idea was, because basically Tucker Carlson like just completely messaged this like a month or two ago to him, being like, and what if the migrants went to Martha's Vineyard? I'm sure the liberal elites there would surely at that point not would have to deal with the reality, because they're so far away from the southern border, etc. So they show up there, and he was probably thinking that these people would be like, ah, gross, get them out. I'm sure maybe some people were, but on the other hand, there were other people who were like, holy shit, what happened? This fool just what? And they just dumped you here? Do you know anybody here? No. Okay, you do have a place to stay? Well, shit, here's food. Well, you don't got shit. And now he's looking at multiple investigations of like lawsuits, and this whole stunt is really beginning to look like now like a $1.6 million tax funded event. And this is now, it's not only pissed off like Hispanic voters in Florida and just around the country. He's also upset like fellow trash governor homie Greg Abbott, because DeSantis, as we know, they are not, where's their border? Like, they don't have a southern border. I mean, aside from, yes, people who might be coming over the ocean or whatever, but it's not in the same way, like in terms of the discourse that conservatives talk about the border. And Abbott was like, what the fuck, bro? Like, you just coming to my state and grabbing people up? And I don't think it was that it was like it was inhumane is what put Greg Abbott off. It's like, bro, you can't come into my fucking state and do this kind of shit and not tell me about it. Like, now, now I'm dragged into it now. Like, we didn't really get our story straight. So now that, like, I feel like most of America has been aligned on how just terrible this, like, stupid fucking stunt was, DeSantis is now trying to paint, like, this as part of his outstanding record on helping people. The office said, quote, Florida gave them an opportunity to seek greener pastures in a sanctuary jurisdiction that offered greater resources for them. They have been provided accommodations, sustenance, clothing, and more options to succeed. That wasn't from the state. That was from the people there who responded to seeing other humans get dumped off like garbage. Right. That wasn't because of the, we say like, oh, these great sanctuary jurisdictions. So it's just this, it's wild to then again see this same playbook like white supremacists were using in the 60s with like what they call reverse freedom rides, where they're like, how about we get you out the South, black people, and we'll here's a one-way bus ticket to a northern city, we'll lie to you and tell you there's all this, that, and the other, and it's not there, but guess what, you got no way back now. And it's weird, like Dramos, when you say like what's too much, because Jared Kushner, like obviously he's a good barometer of like what's like what's going to be the most self-serving take to have now, and he wasn't doubling down. He actually used the phrase, we have to remember these are human beings. It's clear enough to the self, you know, like the ghouls who are like always acting in self-preservation. It's like, don't fucking go that far, y'all.
That's how you know you fucked up, when Jared Kushner becomes a voice of reason.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. But I mean, yeah, like, and now like Charlie Crist, his opponent that's running against him in the election, you know, like this one poll has Crist now in the lead. Like it's like inverted. And other people, I think more realistically, it's probably just tightening. But it was 100%, like many people like this, just that just looked like a stunt, really. And that maybe only energized like 5% of your voters, really, in a way that they're like, yep, that's it,
man. Right. Yeah. You hope that, you know, that this was like a terrible thing that leads to somebody like him getting ousted, you know what I mean, from his seat. You know, that's kind of what the only thing you can kind of hope out of this thing. But I'm still pessimistic regardless of any of those polls or anything like that, because it just seems like, man, nothing really, like there's far more hardcore like lovers of this whole MAGA ideal that like nothing is too far for them. So I don't ever want to get like optimistic, like, okay, is this going to be the thing that wakes people up, you know?
Yeah. No, I don't think it ever will. I think the only thing is to see that like more people are just becoming savvier. And I guess what's sad is like the bar for how savvy you are is like, can you see someone being mistreated and be like, that's not good.
Right.
That's like objectively
mistreatment.
That's
bad PR. Yeah.
Right. I think some people are at it's bad PR. Other people may have graduated to the next level of sympathy and empathy and be like, that is not good to do it to another human person, because I wouldn't want that to happen to me. But I think all of this shows though, like that, for all of the, you know, influence that they have over the movement, like it should become clear to just most people that it's like they're never offering somebody like a better life, actually, like as their campaign promise. Like they're just like, we will make motherfuckers cry and live in fear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are y'all good? Are y'all also upset that like you see too many people who don't look like, you know, this town used to look around?
Yep.
Okay. Then we can do something about that. And we can just wallow in our inability to like grieve the fact that maybe the country is changing and it's time to embrace something different. And I think that's,
and the country is better when it's not all elderly white men running the whole fucking thing. And that's what hurts them most of all, I think.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's why they're so, I think you were right on that, they're just stuck in the anger stage of coping. And that's the only stage of coping that really works with the, you know, overall Republican comportment, you know, is of toxic masculinity, is just being mad and trying to hurt people.
Absolutely. And it takes so many, like, that's, I feel like so many people just get stuck in any situation where you're actually like, if you're grieving anything, like anger is the one I think that feels the most like feels right to a lot of people. And then obviously depression and many other things too, but it feels like a lot of people get stuck in the angry part. And you meet people too, like who have gone through tragedies, and like that's usually the thing that when they have breakthroughs as human beings is that like I let go of the anger.
Right. Well, the anger is the easiest thing, right? You can you can be upset with a tragedy happening in your life, and you can go out and be cursing people out on the street or in your car or whatever, right? Like that's the easiest emotion to sort of live in and to get some sort of like instant gratification, you know, if you like own the feels libs, good. You know?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And people have turned their whole car into, I am not over whatever I'm grieving.
Right.
With all my bumper stickers. It's like, fuck you, Nancy. Like,
we need to make the TDZ bumper sticker, I am not over whatever I'm grieving.
Exactly. I mean, but do it in the MAGA font. Like, that's truly all these people, like, they're incapable of having an actual discussion on the merits or about policy, because they're not even existing in a world where there are policy-based solutions to anything or solutions to anything. Yeah. They're living, they're caught in this like anger cycle of, I don't have this, or I feel like life can be better, which many people are experiencing, but they're firmly in the column of, and I know exactly who to blame, and it's the wrong people, rather than, okay, how many of us can accept that the world needs to change and then find a way to energize yourself to say, well, there's a direction I can move in, rather than just turn the heat up on my ass and just fucking be a pot that boils over and eventually causes a kitchen fire.
Yeah. I am curious how this read, how the Martha's Vineyard stunt read in right-wing media. Like, I just looked on the front page of Fox News, to your point, Dramos, that like it feels like, yeah, this is pretty clear-cut to, this should be just an argument in and of itself to everybody, but front page of Fox News is not mentioning this story at all. Instead, the only DeSantis story they have, Florida Democrat County Commissioner proudly endorses DeSantis. He's done an incredible job. So, which feels like kind of a weak, I'm sure it's hugely within their interest. Like, I think Fox News generally, when you hear people talk about what the Murdochs in charge want, they want DeSantis to be the president and Trump to be kind of out of the. So the fact that the best they can do right now, as we're this close to the midterms, is have a county commissioner endorsing Ron DeSantis is pretty. I don't know, man. I think they want it better for this Martha's Vineyard story.
They got one. One went up this morning. Florida-based Hispanic conservatives approve of DeSantis's Martha's Vineyard strategy despite media narrative. That's there one of go. The fucking main things. And they based this on a poll that they did on Fox News Digital of their own viewers.
Right.
Come on. Like,
man, it's just the media fucking cycle of like algorithmic giving you exactly what you want, you know, just like social media. And I think that's the answer as to why people aren't getting awakened. It's just because they keep getting inundated with things that just continue to double down on the bullshit that they
believe. Here's another one. Professor Charles Xavier proves that things can be done merely through thought.
Damn.
Which is very interesting. Wow. So we do an X-Men lore now.
Yeah.
Professor X is now giving credence to the idea that fucking Trump can declassify shit with his
documents. Yeah. Wow. For sure.
Love that. Okay, Fox.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All oldest girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by oldest girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and it's time to talk shameware, which is a word that now exists.
Not shapewear?
Not shapewear, shameware, baby.
Oh. Okay.
There is a multi-million-dollar industry of, quote, accountability apps to help police online activity. And it's not just for parents. It's also for people whose lives have been ruled by internet porn. Mm. Clinical porn addiction is both in clinical settings, it's a contested issue, but still considered a real problem. And the way that people are using this is apps like Covenant Eyes, which allows you to set up a chaperone or, quote, accountability partner, presumably a friend or loved one, who basically gets sent a message and a blurred out photo every time you look at porn on your device, all for a monthly fee.
Oh, fuck off.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Wait, what do you, I don't understand what is the blurry photo?
Of whatever you were looking at.
How is that relevant?
I don't know. That does feel like a tease. Right. Like they're trying to create more porn addicts.
Yeah, or it's like, want to upgrade to pro Covenant Eyes?
Right.
And then you get the full picture.
Not only are you getting shamed for watching porn, you're going to get shamed for what kind of porn you're watching. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like
exactly.
A double whammy of shame.
Well, yeah.
Right. That, honestly, oh man, some of these people are fucking foolish, dude. You're snitching on your, they should make this, they should call it Compromat Eyes. Because you're going to give somebody all this shit to be like, you know, I know what you've been looking at, right?
Right.
Yeah. You better exhibit, tell your wife to not run for church treasury.
Yeah. Exhibit A through double C of, or of through double Z of your divorce here.
Right. Exactly.
Right. The Covenant Eyes website even makes their simple process into a little visual story. Mm-hmm. So first we have a guy who looks like he just got done, you know, taking a jog. He's in like weird athleisure wear and just looks like sweaty. And he's sitting in a dimly lit hotel room, just like crouched over a laptop.
Yeah.
And then the next picture is them with a friend in a coffee shop. So they're like having a public conversation about their internet porn history in a crowded coffee shop with another adult. And then step three is the man and his wife just laughing their asses off at a baby. So like once you've stopped cranking it 24/7, you're free to finally stop wasting all that sperm and impregnate a partner, thus ensuring the survival of the human race. And they are, This baby just said something fucking hilarious. It is a one-year-old baby, but their response is like Def Comedy Jam audience level.
The like slideshow is wild. Like the first slide, porn creates shame. Shame fuels porn usage. Shame is the feeling that we are flawed and unworthy of love. Using porn creates shame, which isolates us, and we return to porn to cope. We call this the shame cycle. And then the one with the black dude at the coffee shop, to me, it looks funnier. The dude's energy almost looks like, bro, you know, there's a lot better porn out there than the shit you watch. Like, didn't feel like they're having like an earnest conversation about like, hey man, yeah, you weak, bro? Can we get you back? Can we get you strong again? He was almost like, how the fuck you even search for shit like that? Right. Is like the guy's face to him feels more of like an intervention.
Yeah, like, he does look like he's giving him like, he's kind of like, man, you are, wow.
Bro, you know, you don't have to pay for it these days, right?
Yeah. Right.
Like, it's free on most sites out there. High quality, yeah. HD.
He's like, yeah, even on Pornhub, they usually have their own channel where you can get that in the previews. And it says, the power of Covenant Eyes. Our powerful Covenant Eyes app monitors your devices and sends a feed of your activity to your ally through the Victory app. Knowing someone else is going to see your screen activity helps you have important conversations, overcome temptation, and find lasting freedom. Now, look, we've definitely have listeners, like, I've had all kinds of wild stories from y'all who have talked about how, like, this, the shaming of, like, your sexuality and shit, how big that is, right?
Absolutely.
In, like, varying degrees. I'm very curious, right, how this would be sold to the congregation, like, how that conversation plays out. Like, it's just like, hey, oh, man, I saw, like, he's gonna, like, how do you pull up to the homie like that?
Yeah.
Hey, bro.
I think there are definitely people who like have like out of control, you know, problems that they need help with for sure. It just feels that they are trying to insert themselves into a process like that. You know, support groups are great for things like this. You know, it's great to have another person who got through the same issue that you're dealing with, who you can sit down and talk to.
Sure.
You don't need like a spyware entered into your phone that is not like the most secure spyware in the world, presumably, that is like creating receipts of every time you backslide.
Yeah, that can't be good for anybody who's trying to have their eyes forward, progress in their life, and then be like, yo, because you know there's like a whole data file with like every single video you've looked at the last 6 months.
I love how they say that that porn causes shame. So their answer is, Allow us to shame you for watching porn. Yes. We're going to shame you out of your shame so you no longer feel the shame of watching porn.
And that's how you break the shame cycle.
Right. Shame versus shame, okay?
Shame versus shame equals no shame. We all know that, okay?
So these apps, some of these apps advertise their services to churches. One is called Accountable to You and advertises group rates for churches or small groups. And Covenant Eyes has a button on the main page specifically for pastors and church leaders, which, I mean, if people, I'm sure there are people going to their pastors, like maybe this is a problem that like pastors are hearing about more often. And like, but I just feel like spyware is not the answer.
No,
like, honesty, finding a way to be honest about it.
But that's the whole shit, right? Because you can't be honest, right? Like if you're struggling with something, especially sexually, and you're in a conservative church environment.
Right. It's got to be the police state. It's got to be the carceral system when it comes to
I'm sure the conservative church, if you're struggling with like your own sexuality, you can be like, hey, like, you know, if you said, oh, you know, I'm gay, they'd be like, no, you're not.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what happened, actually. Yeah. And the evangelical churches are using the app to make sure people in their congregation aren't looking up anything that could be considered gay. One former member of a Southern Baptist church called it shameware, literally, and said that, they basically asked them to put this on their phone. Like it does feel like there are definitely people who need help, would go to a pastor, might get really good help from a really like good pastor with an issue like this. But I could also see a situation where it's like, all right, so how many of you out there like in this men's group like have ever like looked at internet pornography? All right, everyone who raised their hand, like see me after the meeting. You have to put this on your phone. And then they like use that the same way that Scientology uses, you know, Scientology does that thing where when you're entering, you're supposed to give this like super honest, like deep reading of yourself to another Scientologist, like a expert in Scientology. And then they use what they learn in that to blackmail you.
Right.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, to your point, I think if it, you know, obviously certain people do struggle with it. It's a real thing, right? Maybe it's your vice and you're like, you know, prioritizing it over other things in your life that you shouldn't be. But to your point, if that really was the issue, then it would sort of end at, okay, you visited a porn site, we got a notification. But the fact that they want to put a picture up of it so that like you're what ousted you're as to though, what dude. Type of porn you're looking at specifically, yeah. I think like erases any claims that they're trying to help people and just doubles down the fact that this is about shaming you and also surveilling, you know, if you are a member of the LGBTQ plus community.
Yeah. In a test by Wired, the anti-porn software flagged content with keywords like gay or lesbian in the URL, including U.S. Centers for Disease Control website for LGBTQ youth resources. So they're just spying on that, like spying on anybody who has questions about that.
Right. It sounds like a product that wasn't meant for this, that people were like, you know, what we can do with this technology in a really weird, like inefficient way is shame people.
Yeah. No, this was at least one of these apps was created by a former NSA mathematician.
Oh, okay. Shout out Wanda Sykes.
Yeah.
Did you know Wanda Sykes worked for the NSA?
I had no idea.
Yes. I'm sorry. I have to take a left turn here. Because, you know, we were talking about Ring Nation because Amazon owns Ring cameras now. They own a Ring camera company. So they're doing a show on Prime called Ring Nation, which is all Ring camera stuff. And it's just with the cops. And like, it's probably going to be a mix of like, you know, they say
America's funniest home videos and cops.
Yeah, but it's probably going to be like, you know, the LOL 12 show or whatever the fuck it is. But a lot of people are like, also, I don't know if people know this, like Wanda Sykes worked for the NSA. She's the host. And I was she was talking about it on a Colbert interview. And she was like, I was just doing stuff. She's like, I had a security clearance. She's like, they might be watching me still. I don't know. Look, let's move past that. I'm like, Wanda.
It's a weird country to be living in.
Right.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
The app has some like big privacy issues too, beyond the simple fact that it snapshots your porn and sends it to a pastor. According to Wired, both Covenant Eyes and Accountable to You basically exploited Android's accessibility permissions, allowing them to record every website visited in the device's browser.
Wow.
Yo.
So there's just like straight, I mean, it's what malware does. And look,
they're doubling down too, right? Like, you feel like the Christian people that I fuck with truly like look at the teachings of Christ and they distill it to be good to human beings, do good whenever possible. And honestly, if you see someone in a situation you would not want to be, then try and find a way to pull that person out of it. Mm-hmm. Like really take that message.
Yeah.
And you know, like the church can't do that right now. Like you're in a minority if you're a church that's like super welcoming or whatever. Well, not that you're in a minority of the church that does that, but the ones that are the loudest now are the ones that are excluding people.
Yeah.
And like to double down on this shit was like, well, shit, man, if we can't get, you know, more members, then we're going to keep our members by shaming the fuck out of them or whatever. Yeah. And it's wild to see like that the solution to any of this isn't to fucking box it up and treat this shit like some weird CIA black site, but to have openness to say, hey, what are you struggling with? That's okay. Like, we're not so regressive where we're like, oh, you're struggling with your sexual identity or like your gender presentation or some shit like that. You're like, that's cool. Okay, let's work with that. I feel like Christ will probably fuck with you too. He fucked with everybody. And he would say, that's fucked up. You feel bad. I don't want that for you. Why? Oh, wow. You feel like you're being shamed. Oh, that's not. It's all love, baby. It's all God, baby. But not now. It's always like, it's the I guess shame is just such a such a potent tool that I'm sure it's just hard to quit it if you're, you know, like your whole way of teaching a religion is based on power through, you know, shame and control.
Yeah. Experts emphasize like this is like shaming people for like demonizing porn and the people who watch porn just results in shame and does not lead to long term positive effects. There's an expert who studies sexual health in this Wired article who said, I've never seen anyone who's been on one of these apps feel better about themselves in the long term.
Yeah.
These people just end up feeling like there's something wrong with them when the reality is that there likely isn't. But yeah.
Yeah. It's like saying that the solution is more cops.
Right. It is. It's just not copifying your like every aspect of your life.
Yeah. Oh, you need, yeah, you need porn cops on your phone. No, I don't. And again, who, man, if you're one of these churches, you'd be like, but isn't the Lord omniscient?
Right. Yeah.
Please. Why are we
Pastor, I actually Googled porn cops trying to find one of these apps, but I found something completely different that I couldn't stop looking at. So
that's your excuse. If I saw the notification went off, I was just looking up porn cops to see what the laws were.
Yeah,
to make sure we can apply it. I thought my neighbor might have been watching something, wanted to see who I had to call.
Exactly. When I searched Christ porn, I was looking for Christ's take on what pornography was. Yeah.
Right.
Wasn't some weird, convoluted, you know, repressed shit I might have from a lifetime of living in a fucking shame box or some shit. Ugh, it's hard, man. It's, yeah, like when, again, every fucking problem we look at in our world right now is just that we need to embrace the idea of treating people humanely. There's no real, like, policy shit to it.
Right.
It's either you're helping people or you're taking shit from them and preventing them from living to their fullest. And it's that simple. Like, just run it through that fucking filter.
Make money off of that. That there's your problem. That's why
Fuck making that much money. And I think that's the second hurdle we have to cross, is like not being so fucking entranced by like the idea of like massive amounts of wealth and shit. Yeah. Most people I know don't want to be fucking wealthy.
Yeah.
They just want to fucking live. They just want to fucking be like, yo, can I eat out every now and then? Can I not fucking be in a state of like worry about like, can I afford to help my parents if they need something, or can I sustain my own life? That's it.
Right. Well, I think most people sort of confuse what the value of money is, right? I think when you broke, it's like, oh, I want to have a nice house. I want to have food. I want to, you know, have a nice car, all that kind of stuff. But the reality is, if you really like broke it down in its simplest form, we're just looking for fucking freedom, right? Like the freedom to do what we feel like doing in that moment to bring us happiness. You know what I mean? If that's taking my family out to dinner, I want to have the freedom to do so, right? If I see something that I like, I want to have the freedom to you know, get it and not feel guilty about it. You know what I mean? I think,
or take time to go see my kids play fucking school sports and not have my boss be like, okay, well then you go get fired.
Right. Well, and then that's what happens when you don't realize what you're actually looking for. Ironically, you're looking for freedom, then you end up getting less of it because you become so obsessed with
the
materialistic, tangible part of it.
But I think this is the disconnect we're seeing right now, is, and it's growing, is that more and more people either don't want to be wealthy, or at the very least don't think being happy and able to live and be free should be contingent on being wealthy. And then the reality in America, where if an idea is not monetizable, it gets dropped. Like if somebody came up with a solution to this that actually worked but didn't make any money, like that's not going to get energy behind it. In America. America
Because it's called human kindness.
Right. It's capitalist in the most strict definite, like the whole society is run by where the capital flows and where. Right. And so it's a disconnect that I feel like more and more people are frustrated with. And our economic system and our political system are completely incapable of dealing with that disconnect at the present moment. But
yeah,
feels like we're moving towards something, but it's not going to be with this current system. Yeah.
No. And I think that's why, we got to, you know, that's what's so wild, too. Again, all of the solutions we're talking about, like they make the first idea you have is probably actually the solution.
Right.
How do we stop all these shootings? Well, we need better gun control laws.
Right.
Right.
We need boxes that 8 6-year-olds can fit inside of and can be blown up with C4 and they will still be safe inside. Like, no, the answer is right there. How do we stop all this crime? It's like, well, what's crime? It's people that aren't supported. We need to support people so they don't feel that compelled to say, to me, a catalytic converter is a meal or is a bill paid. And, you know, and completely take out, like, just to really get down to the idea that all of the fucking suffering we're experiencing is just from the unequal distribution of wealth, and that we just need to smooth that out. But again, we live in a place where the people that are at the levers got all the wealth and they're like, okay, try and come and get this shit.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we've created a country that is like more interested in just placing Band-Aids on things rather than like actually treating the wound itself. And that's just been like a vicious cycle that's continued on for centuries, you know, at this point. And that's kind of, I think, the major fault is like Oh, guns are, you know, a problem. Let's give kids a better hiding place rather than like actually going and taking the time to treat the wound. Let's just keep slapping Band-Aids on it until people stop talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because healing the wounds, again, aren't profitable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just true. The absurdity of our times for many centuries now. Mm.
Dramos, truly a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you guys.
Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Yes, at DJ Dramos, DRAMOS on everything. You can check me out there.
Nice. And what is Life as a Gringo coming back?
Yes, today is the season 2 premiere. So,
hey, congratulations.
You guys can check that out. Thank you, man. I've been working really hard on it. It's amazing to be, you know, welcomed back with iHeart for a second season. So, man, definitely check that out. Any of my Latin brothers and sisters who kind of want to form a little bit more community around some ideas around personal growth and talking about many of our experiences. I hope that you check out the podcast I think you'll find some stuff in there you could definitely resonate with.
Man, the great New York, New Jersey pronunciation of podcast, by the way. I just had to comment on that.
I'm glad I could give you some sort of East Coast swag on that.
I felt like
I've always wanted
home.
the accent, so now it's good that I know that I finally achieved that goal in my life.
Yeah. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh, I mean, I think for me, I've become obsessed with TikTok and I'm a little late to the game. I finally embraced it. But I think this happened a couple weeks ago, but there was a clip from The Daily Show where they had the dude blaming Obama for 9/11. And that just is living rent free in my head. And it's something that I just, when I get frustrated about all I'm seeing in the world, I remind myself of who I'm dealing with. And that's been bringing me a little bit more peace.
There you go. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. If you're liking basketball, because the season's coming back around, check Jack and Miles out on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, our NBA podcast. And if you like trash reality like I do, then come on by to 420 Day Fiance. Some tweets that I like. This is from Kate Wagner at McMansion Hell tweeted, dude, Hillary praising Mussolini too for being a woman has got to be the most unreal PR own goal I've ever witnessed. because she was really like, well, you know, that's wild. You know, it's fascist women now. So that's good.
Wow.
Too. And we're like, whoa, okay. Yeah.
Is that on the show that she just dropped on Netflix or where'd she do that?
Oh, no, it was like, it's on I think it was an article, like an Vanity, like she gave a quote. I saw like a text sort of clipping of it. So, yeah. Anyway, so love to see it. We love to see it. And then Alien Superstar at Unicorn Yemi tweeted, I am so seriously committed to having a good time whenever possible in this miserable world. Very dead ass about my joy. you should be too, be dead ass about your joy. Don't fucking compromise that shit. Because again, you're the only one living in your own body.
Mm. Mm. Love it.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Tweet I've been enjoying. Noah Garfinkel tweeted, these are the lyrics to the Indiana Jones theme song. And it's just, Dr. Pepper, Mr. Pibb, Dr. Pepper, Mountain Dew, Code Red. I just live in rent free in my head. And then also Emily Heller just like tweeted a video she took of, she said, I'm watching the live action Pinocchio and it's so fucking off the wall. We're 30 minutes in and he's playing with a turd on the street. And that is indeed what is happening in the movie. And I don't know. I've heard a couple of funny people talk about this movie. I think we might need to do an official watch of this, the new live action Pinocchio by Robert Zemeckis, who, you know, Forrest Gump, Back to the Future, and then just like does not seem to be able to continue to exist in the modern world without just the strangest, wildest shit. All right. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Oh, I mean, Brittany Howard, legendary vocalist. I don't have to say anything. If you know about the Alabama Shakes, you probably know about her. But this is a remix by Bad Bad Not Good to the track Tomorrow. So this is the Bad Bad Not Good remix to Brittany Howard's Tomorrow. And it's dope. It just kind of feels like a good I'm like reluctantly accepting that it's fall.
Yeah.
So it's a good track to like kind of
good fall song.
Still feels like our still feels like we still got like a little bit of summer energy, but you also realize, okay, we might have to take the foot off the summer pedal a little bit.
Can I just interject as somebody on the East Coast and just say fuck you guys, okay? As you're talking about I'm dreading fall over here in LA. These LA falls, my goodness, I have to pull out a sweater.
I don't know what I'm gonna do.
I'm gonna be buried under snow in about a month, so I don't wanna hear it.
I'll trade with you. Look, my whole outfit, I was telling somebody the other day, I have no summer clothing. Like, I wear the same, like, shorts and t-shirt shit. Also, I have no drip in the summer. All of my clothing style investment has gone into, like fall, winter clothing. Because that shit just feels more fun to me.
Give you that. It is far better. But everybody who says, I would love to experience the seasons, says that until they have to actually experience the seasons.
I know. You know what? I feel like what I need is to like do like a real like miles on assignment in like Manitoba, Canada, and like fucking like really go there with it. And they're like, oh, okay, motherfucker, you built for it. And then be like, day three, I want to go home. Day three, my seasonal affective disorder light is not working.
Just a close up on your face with like the tear running down.
Yeah,
like,
Blair freezing on his cheek. It's just a single tear frozen on his cheek.
Yeah, exactly. And it turns into a permanent scar. They think I have like a red tattoo. They're like, oh man, that's when I was crying in Manitoba, Canada in the dead of winter, and that shit burned my skin.
Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.